sip of coffee.
Sip of Diet Coke.
To parch my woes.
Oh, your woes need parched?
I don't even know what that means.
That doesn't mean anything.
This doesn't make any sense to unparch my woes, maybe.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your... I might be having a heart attack. My face hurts from socializing. I bought a new shirt because the store was playing good songs, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your museum visiting. Almost everyone I know's birthday is in March, April, or May. I scheduled a doctor appointment for 8:15 a.m. this morning like an idiot who doesn't need sleep, friend.
Ooh. And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
things in history that you may not have learned about. And Kathleen, my topic is a gentleman from way, 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 way back in the day who is responsible for so many things that we do today.
Really?
For example, Kathleen, do you wear white in summer?
I sure do.
Do you use a tablecloth?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you wear deodorant?
Every day.
Have you heard of the guitar?
I have.
This can all be traced back to one man, and I'm going to talk about him in my section.
Wait, those things are so random and not at all related. What do you, that's crazy.
It's one incredibly brilliant man that you may not have heard of, who basically lived in Spain and was like in Spain for a very long time and started all this stuff. So anyway, that's what I'm talking about. What about you, Kathleen?
I'm talking about the weird history of the umbrella.
Amazing. We all use them and love them.
I've been thinking about things. Every time I pick up like a common object in my house, I think to myself, would this be a good gift? And so far, I've come up with umbrellas and cutting boards because you can never have enough of either of those things.
It's true. Umbrella is an underrated gift. We all need them.
Yeah.
We all desperately need them all the time. How was your weekend, Kathleen? You said your face hurts from socializing?
Yeah, I had to take an Excedrin yesterday because I slept over at my mom's house because my brother's in town. And so I woke up and we were laughing and chatting in the morning. Then I went to go sit in my friend's backyard with her and have lunch. And we were laughing and chatting. And then I went back to my mom's house to make turkey burgers, and we were laughing and chatting. And I was like, wow, I haven't done this much laughing and chatting in a while.
I know, it's crazy. I was out and about this weekend because as of last week, my vaccination has kicked in. I'm at the 2 weeks after all of it. So, and Dennis's has been kicked in for a while. And so we went out and we were seeing people on the street reuniting for the first time. We saw like a cluster of old men all hugging, and like this had been the first time. We saw friends having lunch together for the first time, taking so many pictures of each other. Like, these vaccines are kicking in and people are being able to actually hang out, and it's so exciting to see like marked mood changes among people that I know who are finally able to get out and safely be around each other.
And it feels really good to be able to walk down the street and not have to wear a mask.
Yeah, if you're not in a crowded area, you can take the mask off, which like, have you been just, I've been standing and just like taking a deep breath of fresh air because this is also like the 1 week where the lilacs are in bloom. And it's just, I've been getting like occasional hits of lilac, and it's just, it's wonderful.
Oh, I saw this, the funniest meme the other day. It was like, flowers, let us wave our genitals in the air. Humans, that smells lovely. Which is so true.
That's wonderful. I love it.
Can I tell you about my new shirt?
I love it. Yes, it's beautiful. It's like a maroon gingham.
It's like, yeah, like a square neck sort of off the shoulder gingham and sort of baby blue, like a rust and baby blue gingham. I popped into Madewell to get a gift for a friend because now you can do things like walk into a store to buy a gift for somebody.
I know. I need to buy pants and I'm excited to try them on.
I know. I know. And it's like you don't have to like bring your Lysol spray into the into the dressing area. So I popped into Madewell to buy a gift for a friend, and they were playing such good music. I walked in, they were playing Alanis, Ironic.
Nice, classic.
And then who sings the song? Mr. Jones and Me.
Is that Counting Crows?
Yes.
Back when he was dating Courtney Cox.
And I was like, you know what? This store knows its audience.
Yes.
Like, it's so insane how they set up everything. Like, they think of every little thing to get you to spend your money. I never would have spent any money on a new top. And I was like, you know, but it's like I'm jamming in here.
Yeah.
Let me just go look at the sale rack.
Anytime I go into a store and it smells good.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you spent money on scents.
Yes.
Like when you're at Sephora or any store that has anything for sale in the checkout line, that's where they make all their money, is like those last minute impulse purchases.
Yeah.
And I actively try not to even look at those things. I'm like, you're not getting my impulse money. But they always get my impulse money.
Always, always. Because it's like, oh, let me buy this travel size thing for 75% of the price instead of 100% of the price because I'm saving money, but I'm only getting 25% of the product. Like, it's so silly.
It's also – and have you thought of, like, just, you know, Sephora. We're just talking about them.
Yeah.
If you're a part of their Sephora points system or whatever.
Oh, I am.
If you think about it, you get a gift, you get like a free sample at 100 points and then a new tier of a sample at 500 points.
Yeah.
And isn't it like 1 point for every dollar you spend?
It's something like that. And I am saving my points because I want like the top tier gift, you know?
Okay, but Kathleen, if you think about it, let's say the top tier gift is 500 points and you get a travel size pack of like four different things.
Yeah.
That's $500. It's not even close to equating. I spent 100 points on a tiny tube of a test eye cream.
Yeah.
That's $100. So stupid.
I know, it's so stupid.
So stupid.
But you know when the points really come into play? They do special things during the holidays at Sephora, and that's when the points really come into play.
Oh man, there was a year like when I was making good money.
Yeah.
And
as opposed to now, where we're just making get like enough to feed our bellies,
we're scraping by.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, spending a lot of money on makeup and skincare because we were like filming stuff constantly.
Yeah.
And I was like the Sephora highest level of member you could be, because I was spending like $1,000 a year or something at Sephora, and it's called like the VIB Rouge or something.
It's oh my god,
it's so stupid. And I never used any of the things. Like, you get a free makeover, you get a free whatever, and I'm just like, I don't have time.
I don't have time for that. I know.
Don't remind me how much money I've spent that I could have used for good.
Or you could have put into your 401k.
Yeah, don't. I could have invested it, but instead I just bought Tube Technology Mascara.
Can I tell you how I think I'm having a heart attack? But it's really on trend because I think May is Women's Heart Health Month or something.
Heart attacks. They're so hot right now.
I had dinner at my mom's house last night, and my brother was really in the mood for turkey burgers. And so he's dairy-free. So we always go all out with the different flavors to really like amp up the turkey burgers. And so I brought a jar of hot and sweet pickled jalapenos.
Whoa.
That were so good. But I ate a whole bunch of them on an empty stomach before we had dinner. And for 16 hours now, I have been contemplating going to the hospital.
Oh, no. Is it your chest is hurting or is the stomach lining eroded?
Like my stomach and my chest. And I just downed some Alka-Seltzer like a 65-year-old man right before we started this podcast. But I went to the CVS and the donation was like, would you like to round up for Women's Heart Month or like Heart Disease Month? And I was like, yes, because I probably am dying right now of this exact disease.
Ow. I mean, at least you can point to what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's those extra hot and spicy pickled jalapenos that you ate on an empty stomach.
So
you just threw grenades.
I did.
Onto like an unprotected territory.
I love your pigtail braids today, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I washed my hair last night.
Yeah.
And you know, if you wash your hair at night and you let it dry overnight, it's a crapshoot. Some days you wake up looking like a Victoria's Secret model, and some days you wake up looking like you need to just braid your hair and move on with your life.
It is a crapshoot.
One side was like voluminous and just wavy because whatever. The other side, clearly the side I sleep on, looked like I had slept against a surfboard. Yeah. It was just flat, fully, perfectly flat and straight all the way down my head. And
with just like, I like it when that happens and there's like just a touch of lift at the root because that's where your hair was bent. But then the rest of it's just totally flat to your
head. There's no way you're fixing it without taking a second shower. And if you're me, you made an 8:15 ENT doctor's appointment.
No.
Because you're a moron. And so I'm like, I don't have time. There's no time.
There's no time. You know, I laugh when I think about how early that you and I used to get up. And now my eyes don't even open before 8 o'clock most mornings. Your eyes do because you're an early riser.
Yeah, I try to wake up around 5, but that is a concession because I used to wake up at 3 every morning.
Why do you try and wake up around 5? Because 6 o'clock not good enough for you?
I'm the most optimistic in the morning.
Yeah.
I feel like none of my insecurities have kicked in yet until like 7 or 7:30. So I try to cram as many hours as possible, like, of optimistic Bethany.
I hear you.
You know, I get emails answered and I reach out to people or whatever. And then after that, it's just all going downhill.
That's sweet. You're the best version of yourself in between 5 and 7.
Yep, it's true. I'll answer your email then. After that, it might take years. I have an unanswered email from 2008 and it's not going to get answered.
You're not alone.
Oh, and really quickly, we have the date for our next Acquired Taste by Moonlight for our $5 Patreon members. It is going to be May 11th.
That's a Tuesday.
A Tuesday. It's a Tuesday. What time are we doing it at?
Let's do it at 7:30.
So yeah. If you are not a member of our Patreon, you can join at patreon.com/acquiredtaste. The $2 level is like a tip. The $5 level, you get these twice monthly live shows. We have a really good time. They're like video shows, so you can see us and see each other. And it's a really good time.
They're so fun. Also, this week is the last day to vote for Acquired Taste podcast for the Webby Awards, specifically May 6th, Thursday, May 6th. So if you could just take 2 seconds to vote for us in the lifestyle podcast section, it would be greatly appreciated.
Yep. Go to our website, acquiredtastepodcast.com. We have the link right there, or the link is also in our Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
And after you vote, make sure you confirm your email. The Webby Awards will email you and you're like, hey, yes, I am a human. I'm not a robot, or else your vote won't count. Thanks in advance.
So, Kathleen, we're coming out of winter. Mm-hmm. And so I know a lot of people have been off their shaving game for the winter, which is kind of fun because then when you have kind of the hair that's a little bit longer and then you shave it for the first time, it's so satisfying.
It is.
It's the best. So this weekend, I gave myself like a full pedicure. Like I soaked my feet, gave a pedicure.
Wow.
And then I used my Athena Club razor, shaved my legs. Everything is so smooth and perfect and ready for the spring.
Athena Club razor is hands down the best razor that I've ever used. And Miss Bethany Watson, since I'm moving, I have to get a new Athena Club razor kit because I'm leaving my magnetic wall holder for my razor behind at my old apartment. And so I'm going to choose a different color this time.
If you don't have an Athena Club razor, you have to get one. It makes shaving uncomplicated. It's gentle on your skin, leaves it moisturized, super smooth, and bump-free. And the best part, Kathleen, for you is that the razor kit is only $9. And so you can afford to get a second one with a new super sweet magnetic hook for easy shower storage. No more dropping your razor in the shower and then blindly stepping on it and cutting your foot.
There are thousands of 5-star reviews, and it's built in with these skin guards that I basically never cut myself. Also, Athena Club has the dreamiest, silkiest shaving cream that I've ever used. It's called their Cloud Foam.
Truly, if you're someone who hates shaving, Athena Club makes shaving feel less like a chore and more like me time. My razor is like this periwinkle blue. It's so comfortable to hold. It's beautiful in my shower. I love using it. I love all of Athena Club's products. You know, we've been talking about Athena Club for a long time now. So show your skin you care with the Athena Club Razor Kit. Sign up today and you'll get 20% off of your first order. Just go to athenaclub.com and use the promo code TASTE.
That's athenaclub.com. I'm going to spell that for you. athenaclub.com. Promo code TASTE for 20% off. Miss Bethany Watson.
Yes, Miss Kathleen Heaney.
You have inspired my topic today.
Okay.
Which is the history of the umbrella. Way more fascinating than you would think, but you and I love to talk about like protecting your skin from the sun. You love a good parasol.
I do. In the summertime when the heat is coming and I'm wearing so much makeup because, you know, like acne scars. And so I can't reapply SPF. Gotta have that protective parasol.
Okay, so last podcast, you were talking about parasols, and then, I don't know, we ended up with talking about, like, Rihanna's song Umbrella that Mandy Moore did a folksy cover of, and I just kept singing, under my umbrella, hella, hella, And when we were trying to figure out what topic to do, I was like, I'm just going to do a topic on the song that I keep singing, Umbrellas.
I mean, look, I've never thought about the history of the umbrella before. I don't really know much about it. Never occurred to me.
It's an essential item. You know what I've always wanted?
What's that?
One of those hat umbrellas.
Wait, the ones that just sit on your head because they're a hat?
It's an umbrella, but it fits over your head so your hand's free.
You have a skill at balancing things on your head because you famously have a photo on your Instagram of you with a jar of straws on your head and it's just sitting there perfectly. Do you have a flat head or do you have impeccable balance?
I think I have a flat head. But go ahead, Bethany, right now. I want you to experience some of the happiness that I've been experiencing lately.
Okay.
Google the phrase crazy umbrella.
Crazy umbrella?
Or umbrellas. And then in the shopping section of Google, just go ahead and hit that and tell me if that doesn't make you so happy.
Please hold.
I used to Google pictures of Sarah Jessica Parker's twins to make me happy, to cheer me up, which is...
Whoa, there's...
I know.
There's so many options.
So many beautiful
options. Okay. There's one that looks like... Oh, this is like a patio umbrella because it had fringe and I got really excited, but it's not for a person. It's for a patio.
But, you know, you could... If you just took a little saw and sawed off the bottom of that, you could carry a patio umbrella around with you for ultimate protection.
There's some pretty cool ones. Here is... the HBHHB umbrella sneeze guard windproof umbrella. It's a black umbrella with a full shower curtain, clear shower curtain that comes down all the way around it.
Yes.
Down to your feet.
For when it's raining during Corona times. They sell an umbrella at the MoMA Museum in New York that is black on the top. So just like a regular conservative umbrella. And then underneath the part that you look up at, it looks like a clear blue sky with the most beautiful clouds.
That's lovely. My dream umbrella is the parrot head umbrella that Mary Poppins has. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you can get them on Etsy, I think, for like $150. They don't talk. I know Mary Poppins talked, but I love the parrot head umbrella.
I think I have one. I think that I was going to be Mary Poppins a couple of Halloweens ago, and I ordered one, and it's in my closet. I just remembered that I ordered it.
Wait, do you have it? Is it in your closet now?
You know, I haven't seen it in a while, and I probably would be gone for 20 hours looking for it if I left the pod right now.
Your closet is like Mary Poppins' carpet bag, and that you can fit everything, including multiple lamps inside.
So, gentle listeners, I am inviting you. If you are feeling down and struggling with depression, like I have been lately, go ahead and Google the word crazy umbrellas and let that cheer you up.
If you have a spare $486 sitting around, you can get the Passati Umbrelli Crazy Camo Swarovski Skull Luxury Women's Umbrella, which is hot pink on the top, black with polka dots underneath, and the handle, instead of a hook, is a rhinestone skull that looks a little misshapen, but what are you going to do?
I love this umbrella trend with the fringe hanging off the umbrellas.
I do like a fringe.
I've been seeing lampshades with the fringe on it, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should get that for my new place. So let me get into the history of the umbrella, since today's theme is weird history, okay?
Yes.
The Chinese invented the umbrella 4,000 years ago.
Jeez!
But there's also evidence in Western Mesopotamia that the Egyptians were using umbrellas and the Greeks were using umbrellas. So 4,000 years ago, the first umbrella was invented, but it wasn't until 1969 in America that the first folding umbrella was introduced by a guy named Bradford Phillips.
So they were just carrying around, they somehow had to store these just big convex discs with a stick on them?
Giant umbrellas, like walking sticks. And in America, over 33 million umbrellas are sold every year.
Okay, so it makes sense if you live anywhere where it's like a walking, you know, walking vibe, where like a downtown or wherever.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a big rainstorm, you tend to just see the skeletons of dead umbrellas lying everywhere because we all buy the cheap umbrella because we don't trust that it's not going to get broken. And because I don't want to invest in like an expensive umbrella, what happens if the wind turns it inside out and gets broken?
Now that I think about it, a lot of my umbrellas were like free gift with purchase type umbrellas.
I know. I got so many free umbrellas.
So many free umbrellas.
It was really weird when I had to buy one for the first time that didn't have a brand on it, that didn't like have some weird logo on it.
I used to be obsessed with I bet I still have it. My bubble umbrella. I loved those when I was in college, the clear ones.
Yes. They're great. I used to have one. I don't know where it went.
Yes.
It disappeared.
Maybe I took it because I have two, I think. So the term umbrella is traditionally used with, umbrellas that protect yourself from rain. Sometimes they're used interchangeably with a parasol, but parasols, as we all know, they don't protect you from water per se.
Right. You have to get a specific parasol that's also for water. And they exist.
So umbrellas were actually invented not to protect ourselves from rain. They were invented to protect humans from sun.
Whoa!
I know. Because in those times, the sun was a much more threatening enemy than the rain.
You know what? It makes sense because we
weren't... They didn't have sunblock.
Yeah, they didn't have sunblock and we were... Sun makes you tired. Sun makes mm-hmm. you sick if you're out in it for too long, if you have to work in yes. it all day. Rain mm-hmm. just makes you uncomfortable, but it's not like... You know, yep. Chinese 4,000 years ago were carrying cell phones, so their electronics yep. weren't going to get ruined.
Mm-mm. And there was no AC, so I imagine it felt really good. It was cooling.
Keeps you cool. Oh, that's – I had no idea. That's so interesting.
So the parasol predates the umbrella. and the first umbrellas, a.k.a. parasols, they were made of palm leaves, papyrus, and peacock feathers.
They sound amazing.
They were generally reserved for people who were – a little bit wealthier.
Sure, of course. Got to get those peacock mm-hmm. feathers.
Think of, I don't know, depictions of Cleopatra. You know, she, like men around her are holding umbrellas or parasols over her head. That's because the early umbrellas were so heavy that you needed multiple people to carry them.
Good Lord. Mm-hmm. Going back to the idea of having your patio umbrella as your personal umbrella, I would like a couple dudes. You know how Christina Aguilera used to have some guy who was just in charge of holding her Discman
yes.
for her? Like, I would want... Like a couple dudes who were just in charge of like pulling out the parasol just in case.
Parasols, or I would like to have someone who's in charge of wrapping presents that I want to give to people.
I'll do that. I love wrapping a gift.
Oh, I hate wrapping presents.
I want someone who's in charge of, who's just in charge of brushing my cat's teeth, because that needs to happen every day and doesn't. And yeah. someone who's in charge of like getting me ready for sleep, like washing my face for me,
yes.
you know, doing all of that stuff. And I'm just like, I could be asleep right now, but I'm playing and I'm not washing my face.
It's like, I should be getting ready for bed, mm-hmm. but I'm just going to sit down on this couch and watch one episode that I know I'm going to fall asleep during.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to wake up at the couch at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's it.
So early umbrellas, bamboo sticks, leaves, feathers, papyrus. It wasn't until the 16th century where umbrellas started to look more like the umbrellas that we know today, because that's when they had materials like oil and wax that they could cover fabric with.
Oh,
and
make it
protect
waterproof.
Yourself from the rain.
Sure. Yeah. You know, once you rub oil on anything, it's waterproof. That's why my skin is so waterproof.
I love rubbing oil all over my body.
Mm-hmm. I love rubbing oil all over your body too.
All over my body. So it's really not until the 16th century when, you know, oil and wax become things that parasols and umbrellas now become different things.
Okay.
Get it?
Yeah, I get it. I got it.
Modern day umbrellas are covered with Teflon.
Oh, I didn't know that. The same stuff we put on our nonstick pans?
Yeah, exactly. Teflon.
Teflon.
I just got a new Teflon pan from Rachel Ray, which I think the bottom of the pot is signed by her.
Like for real or like they stamp it on there?
I just unwrapped it yesterday. I got it on sale at Macy's. It's stamped on. But there's this whole section on my Teflon pot that's like, don't cook food for animals like cats and dogs in this pot and feed it to them. I'm like, what?
Is Teflon toxic for animals? And if so, should we be concerned about ourselves?
Once again, that movie with Mark Ruffalo where he takes on the Teflon industry, we should all be watching.
I also wonder if she says that only because she wants you to buy her Nutrish or whatever cutesy name she has for her pet food.
Yeah, it's Nutrish.
Nutrish, because she can't finish a word.
Yeah, EVOO.
Just say it.
I like her. I like Rachel Ray. I hear she's mean, but I kind of like the cutesy words.
I struggle with the cutesiness. I think she'd be fine if it wasn't – the cutesiness troubles me. But you know, I'm contrary about everything.
Yeah, I bought her a pot because it was aqua. So anyway.
Ooh, great color.
Back to umbrella. Back to umbrellas. Umbrellas didn't become something that everybody had until the 17th century. And at first, it was seen as only a thing that women used. It was like a female accessory.
Sure, because it probably, I wonder if it was because, you know, women technically were the, or specifically were the ones who were like trying to protect our skin from the sun. And so people were used to seeing women carry parasols.
Yes.
And so why would a man carry an umbrella?
Precisely. So why would a man carry an umbrella? Until one man did.
Which man?
In the early 1700s, there was a guy in London. His name is Jonas Hanway.
Ooh, Jonas Hanway, a man.
He was the first man in London to carry an umbrella. And then soon after, all men started copying him. And then umbrellas really took on popularity around the whole world as a thing that everybody had.
This is why sometimes we just need like a brave dude to start doing things like, you know, wearing makeup or pearls like Harry Styles does. Like, and then it just becomes a thing. Or Kid Cudi wore a dress on SNL a couple weeks ago and like dresses are cool on dudes.
Oh, actually, Nico Tortorella, the really handsome human from the show Younger, they wear dresses all the time.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Looks, yeah. I mean, like, Kid Cudi was wearing a dress, like an A-line dress and looked awesome in it. And just
love
like
him.
Yeah, he looked great. He was doing it to honor Kurt Cobain.
Well, you know what? Kind of. So I guess maybe Jonas Hanway was the guy who set this all in motion for Kid Cudi.
The Kid Cudi of his time.
So an interesting fellow, Jonas Hanway, was an English philanthropist and traveler. He was also a noted opponent of drinking tea.
Ooh, I like this guy more and more.
Well, you don't like tea?
I hate tea. We've talked about this. It makes me nauseated. I like it iced, but I don't like it hot.
So he was like, tea. He even wrote an essay on it in 1756. An essay on tea was the title of the essay. So,
oh, what's it about?
He said, it's not good for your health. It causes bad breath, ugliness, and weakens the nerves.
It causes ugliness. I love like such, like you can't prove it. And it's such a, just like a big dumb shot in the dark causes ugliness.
Ugliness. So lots of opinions about tea. He was also concerned about the nation of England giving away too much money to China for, you know, their tea making.
Oh, so it's maybe a little racism in there too.
A little racism. He also didn't want non-British Jews to become naturalized citizens of England, which is
more racism. Yeah. Okay.
But then here's another strange thing that doesn't go along with any of his other beliefs. He was really into protecting children from child labor, specifically child chimney sweeps.
Like, can we make that the personal cause of an Acquired Taste podcast? Is like protecting child the child chimney sweeps. I think we should do a fun run.
We should.
We should make really oversized boxy t-shirts that don't fit anyone.
Nope.
And they're really thick cotton and you only wear them to sleep and then you give them away. And it's like an Acquired Taste against child chimney sweeps.
Child chimney sweeps.
AATACCS.
I can't think of a job that I would like. Like I would do anything as long as it wasn't a chimney sweep. Imagine what that would do to your pores.
Ugh. I mean, awful for your lungs.
Yep.
But boy, the hours can't be awful, right? You're working during the day. You get to be out in the world. You get to be on the rooftop and you get to be doing fun dances with the other chimney sweeps.
And penguins? Are penguins on the roof at some point?
They sure are.
Okay. Back to umbrellas.
Sorry.
Hey, Bethany.
Hey, Kathleen.
I know a lot of clever jokes about umbrellas, but they usually go over. Oh, God. Let me start it.
You want a redo?
Okay, let's do it. Hey, Bethany.
Hey, Kathleen.
I know a lot of clever jokes about umbrellas, but they usually go over people's heads.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I like to imagine the guy who invented the umbrella was going to call it Brella, but then he hesitated. That's a good one.
Oh my God, that's actually really funny.
Do you know that I had never heard of this theory. So when JFK was assassinated in 1963, there is this theory about the Umbrella Man who was present.
Yes.
You've heard of this?
Yes, sure have. Girl, you know I love a conspiracy theory.
I know. Yeah, I know you do. That's why we're friends.
Tell me about the Umbrella Man.
Okay. Famously, President John F. Kennedy, he's driving down the street in Texas. Was it Dallas? Dallas,
yep, sure,
right?
Was, yep.
Dealey Plaza.
Yep.
And a man from the side of the street opens his umbrella when JFK is in the car, and he waves. He waves it from east to west. And then moments later, gunshots fell from the sky and our 35th president was killed. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's like, was Umbrella Man signaling the killing? Was he part of it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are all these questions. It wasn't raining that day. Why did he have an umbrella? Well, that's easy, some protection.
Sure.
But was he signaling the assassins? Did he have a gun attached to the umbrella? Like, what was it?
Do you know why he was doing it?
No.
There is one theory that he was, God, I'm doing this off the top of my head. I don't remember specifically. Okay. But I think one of the theories is that he was mocking, he was using it as like a symbol of mockery. I don't remember. But so it was like intentional and it had to do with politics in his head.
Oh.
But he was trying to like raise the ire of a politician. But I don't exactly remember why.
That's not the only case when an umbrella may have been involved in an assassin. There's this guy, the Bulgarian dissident. His name is Georgi Markov. He was stabbed with an umbrella whose tip was lodged in the poison ricin before stabbing him.
So awful.
They got him right in the thigh with the ricin-tipped umbrella, and then he died a few days later.
It's awful.
Do you know the word umbrella comes from the Latin word umbra, which means shadow?
I did not, but you know that makes sense because like in speaking about the sun, they talk about the penumbra, et cetera, et cetera. Non-specific things I've included to this conversation that don't really mean anything.
Penumbra. That means, wait, what does penumbra mean?
It's like, is it a part of an eclipse?
I'm Googling it right now. Oh, okay. I'm going to take your word for it.
Don't. I clearly don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, part of an eclipse. So like the shadow in astronomy, the shadow cast by the earth or moon over an area experiencing a partial eclipse.
Look at that. It's all related to umbrellas. But what I don't get is, you know, we always talk about that company that we love, Umbra, with all the cool home products. So is the company just really named Shadow?
Yeah, maybe because there's not a shadow of a doubt that you need these products.
Can you think of any slang terms for an umbrella in the United States other than maybe like brella, Ella,
Man. No, it sounds like it would be like any slang I could come up with sounds like it has to be said with like a fake Cockney accent. Like a really bad Bert from Mary Poppins, going back to Mary Poppins for the third time.
This is why I'm asking you, because when I was looking up umbrellas on Wikipedia, they listed slang terms for umbrellas.
Please tell me all of them.
Parasols are also called sunshades.
Okay.
That's not that weird.
Okay.
But in the UK, they call umbrellas brawlies.
Brawly? You got to, brawly. This is the Bert Mary Poppins accent. Oh, Mary, you got to get a brawly. Make sure you don't get your dome kit with the rain.
Or a rain shade is also a slang term for an umbrella in Britain.
Oh, Miss Poppins, it's been a fortnight since I've seen you. Gotta get a rain shade to protect that beautiful dome.
Bumbershoot, apparently, is an old American term
for an umbrella. Oh, it's Mary Poppins. Oh, my darling, gotta get you a nice bumbershoot with the parrot on the bottom so you don't get your beautiful rain hitting on your dome.
Oh, I just realized why they call it a bumbershoot, because probably umbrella, and then it shoots up into the air, umbershoot, which then turned into bumbershoot.
I suppose. I mean, it makes as much sense as anything. Yeah.
And when you use an umbrella for snow, it's no longer called an umbrella.
Really?
Called a paraneige.
Excuse you?
Paraneige.
Paraneige? How do you spell that?
P-A-R-A-N-E-I-G-E. Paraneige.
Paraneige.
So apparently an umbrella is something that likes to inspire a lot of small-time inventors.
Okay.
The U.S. Patent Office per year approximately gets 120,000 entries for new things with the word umbrella in them.
Do you have any examples? I can't even imagine. Just imagine it's like a bunch of Rube Goldberg machines where like involves, like involves like an umbrella.
A dog umbrella.
Yeah.
An umbrella with an interchangeable top, an automated sun tracking umbrella, a mister equipped umbrella system. So when it's hot, it mists you from inside the umbrella.
I'd love that.
I do too.
I would love that. I want an umbrella where the handle shoots cold air at me. You know, like, I feel like that's something Dyson could do.
Yeah. Bethany, look, you should submit. You should be one of the 120,000 patents submitted to the U.S. patent place.
Here's the problem. It involves work, and I don't want to work on that.
Okay. Yeah, I get that.
You know, I'd like Dyson to work on that. Someone can tell Mr. Dyson.
Take time away from the vacuums and just lean into those umbrellas.
Yes, please.
There's one city in China that produces the largest chunk of the world's umbrellas.
Ooh.
It's called Songjia, and it's described as the umbrella capital of the world. There's more than 100 factories there working on umbrellas. One single worker makes 300 umbrellas a day. They make about 500 million umbrellas a year, / 30% of China's production. Is dedicated to umbrellas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so many umbrellas for one person to make. Wow.
Fashion umbrellas, mini umbrellas, promotional umbrellas, golf umbrellas, beach umbrellas, rain umbrellas, parasol umbrellas.
I love a parasol umbrella.
But if you want to go to the Umbrella Museum, all you have to do is drive up the eastern coast of the United States to Maine, where the world's largest collection of umbrellas lives.
Is it a proper museum or is it like a dude's house?
It's a proper museum. There's a woman. Her name is Nancy Hoffman. She's the curator and director of the Umbrella Cover Museum on Peaks Island, Maine, a 20-minute ferry ride from Portland, Maine.
Wow! You can find your Maine thing. That's crazy.
She has over 700 umbrellas.
So this sounds like it's this woman's personal collection.
Yeah.
That went crazy. A little bit like in New York here on 14th, I think, there's the KGB Spy Museum, which is really just a dude's personal collection of spy stuff. And then he bought warehouse space. So it's a little frightening that like he has all this stuff because it includes a chair that they would strap people to torture them. And he just like had it.
How do you acquire that?
Like, I don't know.
Do you type that into eBay? Torture chair.
Torture chair. I sat in it and I have pictures.
Well, Miss Bethany Watson, our ride of umbrella history is coming to an end. But I would like to mention that if you're ever at a loss for a gift to give someone, I think that an umbrella is an excellent gift because you literally can never have too many.
That's true. And you always wish you had one with you. Like, yes. I like to have them in every bag just because I don't remember to take them. I never check the weather.
Do you know that they make umbrellas where the tips of it, like the handle, looks like a sword?
I bet TSA loves that umbrella.
It's right up your alley, Miss Bethany.
I need that.
Also, they make an umbrella for nighttime where the stick is like a light up stick. It looks kind of like a lightsaber.
Okay. If they can make that umbrella, they can make an umbrella that shoots wind at me.
You're right. Well, you could get one of those fans and clip it onto your umbrella.
They don't work the way I want like a good, strong, you know, like the Dyson blade.
Yeah.
In the bathrooms that shoot your poo germs 10 feet behind you. I want one of those, but like a long strip of wind in my umbrella handle.
To shoot your poo germs while you're walking down the street.
Yeah.
You know what? As business partners, I support you in your endeavor to pitch to Dyson this high-tech air conditioner umbrella.
Thank you.
Maybe we should put together some sort of package for them.
You know, again, sounds like kind of hard work. What I would really like is for someone from Dyson to just hear this without me having to reach out to them at all. And then them to just move forward. That'd be great.
That would be great. And then they would just pay us tons of money for coming up with the idea.
Yeah, because they would know that that was the honest and right thing to do, which is, as we know, what major corporations are best known for.
Hey, Bethany.
Hey, Kathleen.
You know what always catches my eye?
What?
Short people with umbrellas.
Oh, get it? Because it hits you in the eye, right? Is that the joke? Great.
Bethany?
Yes, Kathleen?
I love cooking, but sometimes the prep work and going out and buying the ingredients just makes me too tired.
Too tired. It's too much work, too much planning.
That's why I love Green Chef. It is the first USDA certified organic meal kit company. The ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped, so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying a delicious home-cooked meal.
You know how I feel about cooking.
Yeah.
And so it means a lot when I tell you that I cooked using Green Chef. They sent me the kit. I ordered this corn chowder. I made the corn chowder, and it was the most delicious thing. And I took a picture because they also taught me. That's the cool thing. Like, as you're making it, you're also learning how to cook. I made a crouton myself out of bread, and they taught me how to do it. And I put the croutons on top of the corn chowder, Kathleen. It was freaking delicious. And I was like, wait a minute. No one was in my apartment to see me do this. No one will believe that I actually cooked.
And Green Chef is the most sustainable meal kit, offsetting 100% of its direct carbon emissions and plastic packaging in every box, so you can feel great about what you're eating and how it got to your table. Also, Green Chef gives you options for keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian. There's a range of recipes to suit any preference.
Hey, you, get cooking. So go to greenchef.com/90taste and then use the code 90taste to get $90 off, including free shipping.
Again, go to greenchef.com/90taste and then use the code 90taste to get $90 off, including free shipping.
Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Kathleen, lots of things can make your workouts hard, like working out. I worked out so hard last night, I almost threw up.
Well, I've done that.
Your socks should not make your workout hard, though. That's why Bombas Performance Socks are built to be nothing but comfortable and supportive.
Bombas Performance Socks have taken all of the amazing innovations that make Bombas the most comfortable sock you've ever worn, and then they've added their Hextech performance technology. So basically, your socks work out for you.
Yeah. But you also have to work out, which sucks, but the socks are great. Yeah. So Bombas Performance Socks are stitched with special moisture-wicking yarn and temperature-regulating vents. So they're allowing cool air to flow in, preventing overheating, and pulling the moisture away from your sweaty, sweaty foot.
Every time I open up my sock drawer, I'm like, oh man, why didn't I wash any Bombas socks? Because I just don't want to wear the others. And if you're searching for the perfect thing for your mom, the Bombas Mother's Day collection has comfy gifts like colorful wildwear socks, ready-to-gift sock boxes, and performance sock gift bags. So no matter what your mom is into, you can always find something cozy for her feet.
And color is great. Kathleen, I know you have some tie-dye Bombas that you love.
Yeah.
But if you're like me and you like the color black, I just got a 4-pack of all black Bombas no-show socks. So you don't have to have color if you don't want to. Bombas also caters to the bleak among us.
So go to bombas.com/taste today to get 20% off of your first order.
That's Bombas, bombas.com/taste for 20% off, bombas.com/taste. Okay, Kathleen, I'm going to tell you about a man named... I'm going to pronounce it the way that I heard it pronounced.
Okay.
So don't get mad at me for being like on Jeopardy and using an accent to pronounce something that isn't an English word. okay. So this man, his name is Ziryab. Ziryab.
Okay. Ziryab.
Ziryab. And that was his nickname. So I believe his real name was Abdul Hassan.
Okay.
And he was nicknamed Ziryab because that means either jaybird or blackbird in Persian. And he was an amazing singer. He was a very sweet man. And so he got that nickname.
That's a nice nickname.
Yeah, it's beautiful. He was born in Iraq in 789 AD. So like not even the year 1000, like super long time ago.
Very, very long time ago.
And the fact that the things that he's done have lasted to today shows like what genius he was, because 789 AD.
They didn't even have cell phones back then.
No, they didn't even have the internet. What were they doing? Okay, so there's debate over where he was from. People claim he was Kurdish or Persian or African. Some say he was a freed slave. No one really knows exactly where he's from, but he eventually left Iraq and he moved to Cordoba in Andalusia, which was the Muslim-ruled area of the Iberian Peninsula, which now is like Spain and Portugal area.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And while he was there, it was like this thing where, you know, like if you think about the Blair Witch Project, that movie was the right movie at the right time, right? Mm-hmm. It was a quote unquote found footage movie at a time when the internet was just starting to be widely used. And so the Blair Witch Project was able to use the internet to make this viral marketing, and then the movie just exploded.
Right time, right place.
Exactly. So Ziryab moved to Cordoba at a time when the emir, the man in charge, the ruling guy, he was really wanting this area to become more culturally known. He wanted to encourage artists. He wanted to encourage people to like have more culture and to explore beyond the rules of, you know, where they what they had normally been doing.
Yeah.
So then here comes Ziryab, and Ziryab is like this freaking genius at all of these different things. And he was encouraged by the emir.
Isn't that amazing to have someone who supports the arts?
Yes.
And innovation to be like, hey, why don't you all create?
Yes. Totally. Yeah. And like, you're not going to get in trouble. You're not, you know, we are encouraging you to try to think of new bizarre things that haven't been done before. So Ziryab got in front of the emir and like sang for him and performed for him. And the emir was super impressed. And so Ziryab became the emir's chief entertainer and also took on the role of what would basically be considered the minister of culture, which is awesome.
Every town should have a minister of culture.
I agree.
Every municipality in America should have someone who's like, this week we're going to focus on, I don't know, desserts with bananas.
Ooh, yeah. Plating. Bizarre and fun new ways to present food.
Next week we're going to focus on skateboards.
Kathleen, if you were the minister of culture for Hoboken,
yeah,
what would be your first initiative? Ooh.
My first initiative would be to challenge all of the Italian delis.
Yeah.
Because it's a very Italian rich town, to make lactose free mozzarella.
Could you add lactose free cannoli into that, please?
Oh, yeah. And also maybe like a really delicious vegan mozzarella and a vegan cannoli.
I think that's very doable. Okay. I think I like your initiative.
What about yours for your neighborhood?
I would work on the initiative of local clothing designers to bring back the cape. I really, there's this horror film, this Italian horror film from the 60s where this woman is wearing dark blue denim bootcut jeans.
Okay.
They're high-waisted, like a black fitted t-shirt and boots. So she looks chic but chill.
Yeah.
And she's wearing a black cape that goes down to the ground and it like hooks around her neck. Ooh. And she's running from a murderer. And so, but the cloak is like wool or canvas. So it's not like a superhero cape. It's like a traveling cloak, but it's just a cape. There's no pockets. There's no hood. And she's wearing it over jeans and a t-shirt and it looks so chic. It's insane.
Bring back the traveling cloak.
I've been trying to. And as your minister of culture, I will bring back the cape.
I'm looking forward to it, Bethany.
Okay. So basically Ziryab was here. He was allowed to innovate. He was allowed to practice his art and basically lead this cultural revolution. And there's this amazing short, it's like 15-minute documentary on YouTube you can watch for free. Ooh. It's from the Turkish Radio and Television Corporation. I'm going to link it in the show notes.
Okay.
It's so, so good. But it's called Ziryab, the greatest cultural icon you never heard of.
Ooh.
I highly recommend it. So let's talk about what he was doing. He was a musical genius. So he was a singer. He also played the oud, which if it was a stringed instrument similar to a lute. Do you know what a lute looks like?
A lute is like a little wooden recorder type thing, right?
It's wooden. It's like a little pear-shaped guitar. It looks like a little guitar.
Yeah.
You've probably seen it in Renaissance paintings where at the very top of the guitar neck, it has like a 90-degree angle and it like bends backwards. So he played the oud, which was like a precursor to the lute. He composed music. Some people claimed he could perform thousands of songs by heart. He brought the oud to Spain, and according to a guy named Ronnie Malley, who was in this documentary, he basically laid the groundwork for classical Spanish music and eventually changed the course of European music.
And he wasn't even from Spain, and he had all of this influence.
All of this influence. And we'll get into it later, but like, as he taught, his students then traveled the world and brought his teachings around the world, which is how everything he's done has influenced us to this very day.
That's how things used to be back then. You would study under somebody, and then you'd go off and do your own thing, like Bikram yoga.
And then there's some issues with you and the way that you teach women. And when he was in Cordoba, he created a music conservatory, which was amazing because the conservatory wasn't just for the children of the elite. It was for everyone. Both men and women were allowed to study here, not just rich people. Everyone
Unheard
could study.
Of.
Yeah, he was like apparently super nice guy. Kathleen, let's talk about his fashion.
Okay.
Do you know a man, any man, who shaves his face?
Yeah, sure. I know lots of men who shave their face.
You can thank Ziryab for popularizing shaving for men.
Hold the phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Men didn't shave up until this point?
Long beards.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, very hot.
Hot, very hot. And like some men may have shaved, but he made it in vogue to shave. Kathleen, do you know any women who remove body hair?
Sure do. Myself shaved my own mustache this weekend.
Ziryab showed women how to remove body hair. He taught women different hairstyles they could wear.
Get out of here.
He brought out and popularized the idea of wearing different fashions based on the different seasons. So, for example, he popularized wearing white in the summer.
I mean, scientifically, it makes sense. Keeps you cooler.
Yeah. Keeps you cooler. And they were in a very, very warm area.
Yeah.
He even assigned dates for when we should wear certain items of clothing.
Wow.
Which
no,
is very exciting.
No white after Labor Day.
No white after Labor Day.
No cloaks after Easter.
Mm-hmm. If you wear a cloak after Easter, you're not going to fit in.
And no sandals after the first frost.
Okay. He also brought perfume, cosmetics, and toothpaste to the area. So these, he didn't invent these things, but he popularized them. He brought them with him. He, though, did invent a new deodorant. And he promoted taking two baths a day. He was all about staying clean, smelling good, like hygiene, all of that stuff.
Do they ever talk about his sexuality?
No.
They
not
don't.
That I've seen.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Plus, Ziryab bringing all of these new ideas over from the East resulted in a cosmetology school opening up to teach all of these practices. So not only has he opened up a music conservatory, but now there have been, you know, people learning cosmetology and grooming and health practices because of him.
And it's the year, it's in the 1700-800 ADs.
700, not even
700 ADs.
700s.
Crazy. So ahead of his time.
Yeah. He also introduced the idea of leather furniture. And he really became this icon. People looked up to him because he was so elegant. He was so stylish. And so people were really trying to emulate him. Men were cutting their hair to look like his and shaving. Women were doing the hairstyles. They were following his fashion rules. And they really wanted to be just, his carriage was so classy. And they really wanted to be like him.
He is the original Anna Wintour.
He's the original influencer. He really is the original influencer.
I would have been influenced. I'm so easily influenced.
Oh, me too. I'll watch a commercial for Coke and then be like, God, why do I want a Coke? And then I won't question it, but I'll just buy a Coke.
I know.
Okay, Kathleen, have you ever eaten asparagus?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I love asparagus.
He introduced that and made it popular.
Are you kidding me?
He brought it over from the East.
You know what the best way to cook asparagus is?
Hmm.
To blister it.
Ooh, what does that mean and how do I do it?
I learned it on my masterclass. I was watching Gordon Ramsay's. He does like breakfast, lunch, dinner. This is his breakfast.
Does he scream at you while he's doing it and call you a cow?
You know, because it's a service that you pay for, he's like kind of on the nicer side. But to blister asparagus means that you have a pan that you get really hot and you put just the slightest bit of oil, just a little touch. And you essentially put the asparagus in this really hot pan and you let blisters form. And then you flip. You let blisters form on the other side, salt, pepper. It is the best way to cook asparagus. Like, screw roasting asparagus like I used to. Blistering it from now on.
This sounds faster, too, than roasting.
So much faster, so much more delicious.
Kathleen, have you ever had a three-course dinner?
Sure have.
You can thank Ziryab for that. He decided.
I'm like, I know this is a podcast and we're filming this and I keep like making these faces and I should be making noises because this is an audio form. But what did this man invent?
That's the question. He decided that dinners at the palace would be served in different courses that had a distinct sequence. So soup was first. You're going to have your soup first, he says, and we listen. Then you're going to have the main course, which is either meat or fish, some sort of protein. And then you're going to have dessert, which is like nuts and fruits and some sort of desserty, wonderful, whatever. This became such a popular way of having dinner that it was happening all over. And then it spread to Europe, which then, you know, spread to the U.S. Kathleen, have you ever heard the phrase soup to nuts?
Yeah, of course.
To describe something? That's because of the soup to nuts of his meals.
I never thought about that before.
right? It's, this guy's wild. It's wild.
I never thought about the origin of that idiom before, but wow. Yep.
Soup to nuts. You can thank Zitty up. And if you've ever had a beverage out of a glass or crystal,
yeah,
you can thank Zitty up for that. Most people, if they had the money, they were drinking out of gold. He introduced the idea of drinking out of crystal or glass.
Yeah, who wants to drink out of gold? Number one, it tarnishes. Number two, it's got a metallic taste.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not, and it's a soft metal, and you can't put it in the microwave.
No,
you know,
you can't. It's gonna spark. It,
yeah,
it always spark. Does.
Yep. Okay, Kathleen, let's talk about socializing and what you do with your friends.
Oh,
Kathleen, if I know anything about you, I know that you love a good rousing game of polo.
Sure. Do.
Yep. You get on your horse.
Oh, that's the horse one. Okay.
You and your friends get together on a large lawn and you play polo.
Mm-hmm.
He introduced polo and chess to Europe. And when he wasn't being incredibly good at these things, he was also incredibly gifted at meteorology, astronomy.
What?
Chemistry.
Okay.
Botany.
Okay.
Poetry.
What?
And linguistics.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think that he's just one of these people who's really persuasive and whatever he says sounds correct? So you're like, wow, this man is gifted in everything. Meanwhile, he's just talking out of his ass.
He's just making it all up. You know what? There is something to be said. Like, he had to have been really charismatic in order to...
Of course.
Like, get in front of the emir at all.
He sounds like every single category in Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Like, he is all of them.
It's just him. It's just him. And the Fab Five are very intimidated.
Yeah. Who, we all know people who sound so convincing. They could literally tell you anything and you would be like, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I believe that. Yeah. Maybe he's like one of these sort of con artists.
I think it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. Because with things like mathematics and astronomy, you can't really BS that around other people who know. So I'm guessing if his influence has stood the test of time, it's because it can be proven.
Okay.
However, with the stuff like fashion and stuff like, you know, poetry, that is all very, it's kind of in the eye of the beholder. So I think there's a little bit of both. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. So he had kids. He had several children, multiple children. His kids carried on his musical talents and legacy. And like I said before, he taught all of these students and then the students went on to travel and they continued all of his teachings. So everyone has heard of the Renaissance period, right? We think of like the European Renaissance.
Yes.
Zitiab's teachings were part of that.
Wait, so I'm looking up the date, Renaissance period dates, because I'm not so good with dates. I need to be reminded.
The 1600s?
Let me tell you in one second. So according to history.com, the Renaissance period went on for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, famous Renaissance characters that we know, like Galileo and Leonardo da Vinci and Copernicus, they lived in 1400s and 1500s.
Okay, gotcha.
I feel like, who is this guy's family lineage? Because I feel like they should be making royalties on all of this stuff.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure if you're related to him, you know. Like, I'm sure that it's something your family is proud of. I didn't look into his descendants, but I'm sure they're out there and I bet they're freaking amazing. How? Except there's always the one who isn't then like spends the rest of their life, you know, being the schlub of the Zitiab family. Like, and you're like, ugh.
Chad Hanks.
Chet, the rapper.
How frustrating do you think it is to have a very famous inventor in your family who invented something, I don't know, like 100 years ago before there were things such as royalties?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, my great-great-great-grandfather invented the porcelain toilet, but we poor.
Yeah, exactly. We have nothing. Nothing to show for it. Or, you know, my great-uncle – through marriage, invented the metal eyelet, but I'm only through marriage. And so, yes, we have the same pedigree last name, but I'm not actually related to him at all, nor do I get any of that money.
I had an intern whose uncle had invented Smart Order. No. Vitamin water. Vitamin water. But it was like the guy that her aunt married.
It's nothing. Yeah. Isn't that how 50 Cent made all of his money, investing in Smart Water?
Is it?
Or vitamin water?
Is it?
Oh. That's what I heard, so I don't know if it's true or not.
Now I'm craving vitamin water.
But okay, so at the end, basically, just decades later, decades after Ziryab, not very long, Cordoba became the intellectual center of Europe. The same guy, Rami Malek, who's from that documentary, he's a musician. He said, quote, "We're talking about an era that not only was music exchanged by way of a figure like Ziryab, we're also talking about poetry and science, philosophy, mathematics, all of these different things that he was really good at that culminated in this region." And he said, "This region is an extremely important way for us to understand the new world we live in today.
Yeah.
Without the advances and everything that happened in this place, we might not know the world we know today." And there's a website, MuslimHeritage.com, that I got a lot of information from.
Yeah.
They said that in the Muslim world, there is not a single country that does not have a street, a hotel, a club, or a cafe named after Ziryab. And in the West, scholars and musicians still pay tribute to him today.
So I have been to Spain and Portugal. And when I was there, we went to go look at some of the history. Like, there are still some buildings and stuff from this period. I guess you could call it the Moorish period. And a lot of their buildings are still standing today. And it's incredible.
Our country is so young compared to that.
Oh, I know.
It's just amazing to think of. So
America's a toddler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're barely walking. So yeah, I highly recommend doing more research into him and just like digging in, because he was just one of those people that's like unfair how talented he was. And we don't fully realize in our day-to-day life how much he has affected it.
We should have a day dedicated to him. It should be the National Day of Innovation.
Yeah.
Named after, spell his name again.
Ziryab. Anyway, I hope that's interesting. I'm so glad we know about him now, because I wish they had taught us about him in school.
Now I'm going to go put on a white shirt and think of him.
Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, Bethany.
Did you know that a simple finger prick can unlock tons of insight into your reproductive health?
Really?
We're talking about things like egg count. But if you're someone like me and you're not interested in having kids in the future,
yeah,
it's still helpful. You can get info on menopause timing. If your hormone levels indicate things like thyroid disorders or PCOS, these are all good things to know.
Or if you are interested in having kids in the future, these are all good things to know because it affects your fertility.
Yeah, we're all taught how not to have kids in sex ed. But what about if you're looking to have children? What do? That's why Modern Fertility was created. It's the easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. You mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days.
Traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000, but Modern Fertility only costs $159 to get the same information. And if you go to modernfertility.com/taste, you can get $20 off your test.
Plus, if you have an HSA or FSA, you can use those dollars on Modern Fertility. You're going to get insight into how many eggs you have, your hormone levels, and other important fertility factors. And the results go really deep into what every hormone means. Plus, you can talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for your next steps.
And if you want kids today, or maybe one day in the future, you need information to make decisions that's best for you.
So right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off of the test when you go to modernfertility.com/taste.
That means your test is going to cost $139 instead of hundreds or thousands of dollars that it could cost at the doctor's office.
So again, get $20 off of your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/taste. That's modernfertility.com/taste.
Hey, Miss Bethany.
Hey, Kathleen.
How low can you go?
Oh, morally? Physically?
All of the above.
Probably lower morally than physically. Why?
So there is this Canadian woman. Her name is Joy Chapman. She's a singer from Surrey, British Columbia, and she just set the Guinness World Record for the lowest note ever sung by a female.
Ooh, what's that note?
That note is a C sharp at 34.21 hertz cycles per second. Okay. Do you think we can try?
I need to hear it.
Okay, let's play it and then see if we can match her.
Okay.
La 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 la. Thank you.
right. Do you think we can get that low?
All right. Let's try.
Nope.
I wonder what the rules are, like how long you have to sustain it and how it happens.
La 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 la.
Now I just feel like I'm grinding my vocal cords. I'm not actually singing anything.
La 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 la. I can't. I'll post the link to her YouTube video in our show notes, but she talks about, after she hits that note, how your vocal cords are just another muscle in your body and you can learn to control them and hit high notes and low notes.
Sure. Yeah. It totally makes sense. I tasked Dennis last night with learning how to do, is it called overtones, where you can sing two notes at once?
What?
And it's like, yeah, I know very little about it. This is what I've heard. I've heard that monks do it. Which types of monks? I don't know. I've just heard they do it. I know that Avi, who used to be with Pentatonix, can do it. If you watch a video of him singing, he sings like a drone sound. And then over the top of the drone sound, you can hear a whistle tone of him singing The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
What?
It's wild. I'll link it in the show notes.
You know,
So I was like, Dennis, you should do that.
You know, it's like when you're doing bicycle sit-ups, you know, elbow to knee.
Yeah.
I always have to think about which oblique I'm trying to work at the time. Like, I won't work out the muscle unless I actively think about squeezing it. And I imagine that people who can do these amazing things with their vocal cords, that they have to do the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's like so much like support in what part of your mouth you're using and like where the air is coming from. And, you know, is your posture okay? And blah, 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 and where does the sound form? And like, it's just versus you and I just going,
There's this guy for Peloton, one of the instructors. His name is Cody. And I was doing a class of his yesterday, and he was like, somebody in the New York Times called me a messy podcaster. And he's like, I take that as a compliment. Messy is my best quality. And I was like, you know, Bethany and I too, we could be like easily distracted podcast hosts.
Yeah. Well, you know, what do you, you know? I don't like podcaster being used as some type of slur, but whatever.
Yeah.
Like, whoever wrote that in the New York Times, you try to keep people motivated and interested without any edits for like 45 minutes. You have to talk for 45 minutes straight, and it's being broadcast to people around the world. I don't know. You try it.
I guess in terms of journalism, podcasting is the bottom of the barrel. Like, we barely get any recognition.
I think I disagree. I think that podcasters are making content, you know? Like, I think Lore was the first podcast to really like get an Amazon series.
That's true. By the way, have you ever heard of eyebrow perming?
Perming?
Eyebrow perming. It's a thing.
I've heard of laminating. I've heard of laminating. I've not heard of perming.
What's eyebrow laminating?
I think it's the equivalent of putting like a industrial strength eyebrow cream gel in your eyebrows to keep them like up and straight if you have like really thick eyebrows.
Okay. But so I saw a video of eyebrow lamination and I thought that it was eyebrow perming. And I kind of want to get it done. It's, yeah, they take some sort of like very thick substance. They paint it into your eyebrows to make them all sticky uppy. And then they cut them so you have this beautiful eyebrow shape, but it's not like your eyebrows aren't combed over. They're all just sticky uppy. Uh-huh. And they stay like that for a long time.
It sounds great if you have problem eyebrows, you know, if your eyebrows are like bushy and they get all over the place. And yeah, I mean, I've heard good things.
I think want sticky uppy eyebrows. I only have comb over eyebrows.
But you can brush them up yourself, can't you?
And trim them. They always flop over.
Do you use a brow gel?
I sure do.
Oh, then you should definitely get your eyebrows laminated. That sounds, I picture your eyebrows going through a little wheeled machine and coming out surrounded in plastic on the other side and then hung up from an elementary school ceiling. So it's like a kind of a gross visual for me, but like, you know, I'm on board. I say yes.
You know, lamination machine, having a mom who was a teacher, I was like, Mommy, can you bring this to school and laminate it? And I'd ask her to just laminate anything. Anything and everything.
They're the coolest. If you have access to a lamination machine, you are Oh, I had to laminate something once a couple years ago. I brought it to FedEx Kinko's and they were like, you can laminate it yourself. Here's the machine. And I did it all by myself. And then the guy didn't even charge me because it was like 10 cents.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I was like, oh, thank you.
That's why I don't own a printer, because if I need to print on, like, the rare occasion that I need to print something, I just send it to FedEx and they're like, okay, 10 cents.
Mm. Yeah, 10 cents.
Sure, the printers are expensive.
They are, but I have one at home because, man, I need to print everything. I have to see things in front of me on paper or I can't process it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Digital, not great for Bethany.
So that thing that you posted on our Instagram, the old-timey swim cap that goes over the full face mask.
Yeah. Horrifying.
The old-timey swim cap that goes over your full face.
Yeah.
I'm about to put a link in our Skype, Bethany, and I want you to look at it because Mark Zuckerberg was spotted with a full face of sunscreen.
Oh, he's a very pale man.
He looks exactly like that mask.
He's a pale.
People are comparing him to Michael Myers, you know, because you can see his hair, but then the rest of his face is all white.
Hold on. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very upsetting.
But you know what? Like, he's a pale guy. This summer season, can we just stop judging people who have taken the right move to put on an excess amount of sunblock?
You have to. He said he put it on so that the paparazzi wouldn't recognize him.
What? Get out of here.
It's upsetting. It's so scary looking. If I saw that, I would run, because it is. It looks like someone's wearing like a Guy Fawkes mask, but without the mustache. It's just a white face mask.
Someone on Twitter compared him to Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire when he has like a face mask on.
Yeah. Yeah. When he dips his face in the Cool Whip.
Mark Zuckerberg, people are going to recognize you no matter how much sunscreen you have on. Like, you are vacationing in very rich areas. Get out of here.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, he also has a booty on him. Good for him. Yeah. He's looking very worried over at the paparazzi. And... But he's also surfing or wakeboarding or something. So he clearly like made the decision and then went out onto the water. So it's not like a snap decision. It's like he could have wiped it off, but he decided, look, keep your face safe. You got to do what you got to do, my friend.
Cover your face in zinc, the whole face.
Well, that's what happens. That's what he's doing right here. And it zinc takes forever to blend off. Someone posted a picture of a lizard shedding its white, creepy, dead skin, which also looks like Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, speaking of reptiles, there was a woman in Florida who was hit by a flying turtle. Wait, let me tell you. There was a 71-year-old woman who was riding with her daughter on Florida's Interstate 95 when she was gashed in the forehead because a turtle smashed through the windshield of their car. It hit the woman square in the face. She survived. There's a photo of the turtle, like, lodged into the windshield.
Is the turtle okay or is the turtle not okay?
The turtle had just a few scratches on its shell and then was released into the nearby woods. And they don't know how this turtle went flying.
Oh, my God. That poor turtle. I'm glad he's okay. And the woman, obviously.
Imagine you have this scar on your face and someone's like, oh, wow, how'd you get that? And you're like, ma, I was hit by a flying turtle.
Turtle, no one's going to believe you. It's those things are what really scare me. Like, I'm glad she's okay and I'm glad the turtle's okay. But it's those things. I was watching a video the other day about this guy who was lying in bed.
Yeah.
And then his housemates, and it was like his brother and his brother's wife, heard what sounded like a car crashing into the house. Mm-hmm. And they were like, what is that? And then the guy who was in bed started screaming. And they run into the bedroom, and the bedroom is gone. It had fallen down a sinkhole that just opened up under the bedroom to the point where you could see the cord for the television was still out, but the television was swallowed in the sinkhole. And it's like,
did the guy live?
No. Here's the thing. They couldn't get him out without, it was a little bit like quicksand. The more they dug, the more stuff, the more like sediment and like asphalt poured in. And it's like, he was lying in bed and then he was just whoom, gone. Like,
was that in Florida too?
I think it was, because Florida is very sinkhole-y.
I remember this a few years ago and I'm pretty sure that was in Florida. You know what? This is why I'm okay if Florida just breaks off and floats away.
It's dangerous. And they have all those crocodiles and alligators down there. But I also saw another video of a ring cam from the front of someone's house car is driving down a street. I think it's a van.
Yeah.
Driving down the street, and then the van suddenly just gets hit by a plane. Like a plane just suddenly crashes onto the street, and the van goes up in flames. And it's like, they were, I mean, it was like a split second. They didn't even see it coming. The plane just fell from the sky. It's like, you have no idea when it's going to hit you. Sometime, something's going to hit you, and then boom, you didn't even see it coming.
I mean, yesterday I saw my friend fall off her sandal, and I was like, oh my God, are you okay? We've all been there.
Is she okay?
She was fine. But you know when you're wearing shoes that are platform, and even though they're not necessarily high, for whatever reason, your ankle just buckles.
Yep, absolutely.
Like, you just fell off your shoe. Are you okay?
Yep. Minerva fell off the wall this weekend. She fell off the top of the wall. She's trying to climb the picture ledge, the teeny tiny picture ledge that hangs around like in old houses.
Cats.
And she just fell off the wall. She's fine, but what the hell?
Bethany, there is some new wearable technology.
Tell me what it is.
It's a wearable wristband that converts your body heat into electricity. Isn't that cool?
For what purpose?
It's an energy supply.
So do you plug your phone into your wristwatch?
Yeah. Then after you wear it, you can plug things into it.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Wouldn't you wear that?
Yeah, I would provide so much energy because I'm hot all the time.
Exactly.
Give me your phone. I'll charge your phone in 30 seconds flat.
Imagine a world where you didn't have an outlet in your house that you had to literally move your body to charge your phone.
Like a hamster wheel?
Everybody would be so fit. Like, I can't go without my phone. I gotta go for a run around the block.
That would actually be great because I don't have a ton of outlets in my very old apartment. And so I would wear that thing. What's it called?
It doesn't have a name yet. I got this from newscientist.com. It's invented in China at the Harbin Institute of Technology. And cool. Maybe it'll reach the masses soon.
Do you remember, Kathleen, when we got asked if we wanted to endorse a product that was supposed to be a little wristwatch that kept your whole body cool?
Oh my God, Bethany.
And have we ever talked about this?
I don't think so. And I was just thinking about this the other day. It looked like an Apple Watch, but it was just a metal thing. And it had some switches on the side, and it promised to, if you were overheated, you turn on the cool setting and it cools your whole body.
Cools your whole body. So I was really excited because I'm always hot. And so we tried it and it wasn't working. And it was just making the little square on your wrist where it sat very cold. Yeah. But that's it. And so then we got on a call with the inventor.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, have you tried putting it at its coolest setting? And I was like, yes. And he goes, well, you really have to kind of work with it mentally. So you really have to want it to work. And I was like, what do you mean by that? It's like, sir, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I really wanted it to work. I was like, what do you mean by that? And he's like, well, you really have, like, you have to really imagine it working. And, you know, really, like, work with it and, like, picture it working. And I was like, oh, so this is all in your head.
It's all in your head. And he went to MIT. He was like, I went to MIT. I am an engineer. I tried it.
And they were charging, like, $400 for this. And we're like, we're not endorsing this. It doesn't work. And not especially for $400.
So I just looked it up. I remembered the name of it. It's still a thing.
Yeah, don't say the name of it,
though. I won't say the name of it. But It's been endorsed by Wired magazine, The Wall Street Journal, Vox, Vogue. I mean, come on. It really didn't work. It's like, yes, I would like to cast spells like an old-timey witch, and I really truly believe in it, but that doesn't mean it's going
to
happen.
The thing that it's supposed to be meant for specifically is people who work in offices and are sitting and like are cold. Yeah. Then it will make your wrist hot. And then if you think about it, it will spread that warmth to the rest of your body and vice versa. But really, it did not work. And I tried everything to make it work and it really didn't. And then when we got on that call and he basically said, you have to imagine that it's working, I was like, oh no.
He's like, come on, dude.
Oh no.
You remember those wrist bands that people used to wear? You would buy them in like the supermarket, I think. And it was supposed to give you better balance because there were magnets.
Yes, magnets, yes.
It's like, no.
Yes.
It's not going to give you better balance. I'm sorry.
But I believe in the magnet thing more than I believe in this thing. And I'm so bummed because I just want something to keep me cool all the time. But I was floored when he basically admitted that you had to imagine it working.
Not all technology is worth it. And I am a full believer in technology. Like, I would buy this wristwatch that made electricity. I would. It's like a personal solar panel.
I would totally buy that.
Just speaking of solar panels, why hasn't it been normalized that people who live in apartments can get solar panels that attach to their windows so they too can enjoy the benefits of lower electricity bills?
I know. I would love that. I would love to put them on the roof of my apartment, but we all know a man lives up there, so we can't.
Renters deserve lower electricity bills too.
I agree. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
Bethany, I learned that no matter what you're doing at home, whether it be yard work or maybe painting a wall or cleaning, put your hair up.
Okay, what happened?
And put a hat on, because I was using that stuff that's really fun to use, foam sealer.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's fun.
So gaps and cracks, you spray the foam in and then expands and then gets real hard. And I leaned over the nozzle by accident and the front of my hair got some in there. And I was like, oh, I'll just get it out later. Nope, can't get it out.
No.
Because it says acetone will take it off, but nail polish didn't work. And I ended up having to cut a huge chunk out of my hair.
Oh, no. Yeah, pull your hair back. You don't want to get industrial foam all over it. That stuff is fun, though. It's very satisfying.
Oh, if you have a mouse problem, fill every crack in your house with this stuff. After it hardens, take a little X-Acto knife, cut it off to fit the shape of wherever you're filling, and you're good to go.
I love
Bethany,
it.
what did you learn this week?
I learned that some people believe that lobsters can live forever.
Huh?
They cannot live forever. However, there is this thing where there are some animals, and I think plants, where there's no set on how big they can get. So, like, you know, humans will stop growing at a certain range of heights, but lobsters do not. And the largest lobster that has ever been caught was 44 pounds and 3.5 feet long.
Oh,
can
man.
You a 3.5 foot long lobster is a dinosaur.
Do you know how much butter you would need to consume that thing?
That is a predator. One of the theories about Amelia Earhart is that she got eaten by crabs, like these giant crabs that are like the size of a dog.
Oh, I wonder if crustaceans in general just keep growing.
I don't know.
That's interesting. You know, like sharks, they can live for thousands of years.
Awful. I mean, good for them.
I just watched Jaws over the weekend for the first time in basically forever. We're going to need a bigger boat.
By the way, we need to do an underwater topic soon, because I want to do like bizarre, terrifying things that live under the ocean, because some of them, like spiders, are so awful and they get so big because they're under the ocean.
Wait, underwater spiders?
Yep. Yep.
They can swim?
Yep. Yep. And they like walk around the ground and their legs, Kathleen, picture a daddy long legs.
No.
Now make it the size of your water bottle.
No.
And now make the legs real thick.
No.
But long and skinny. Like straws.
But then I just started to be able to go in the ocean without freaking out.
You should never go in the ocean. Kathleen, the ocean is outer space. We don't know what's down there. You should never go in the ocean ever again. You don't know what you're stepping on.
Godzilla lives in the ocean.
Yeah, he do. And guess what? He's mad.
When he's not terrorizing the land.
He's not terrorizing the neighborhood.
Miss Bethany Watson, where can people follow you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at Radio Bethany, on Instagram at Miss Bethany Watson. What about you, Kathleen?
At Webgirl Kathleen on everything. If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
You can send us an email, an acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And we have some snail mail. Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Give us a call, 917-994-0353. You can leave us a voicemail, which we play at the end of almost every episode.
And wherever you listen to podcasts, please rate, review, and subscribe.
Our podcast is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on Instagram at @lit_fuck and on Twitter at @Shargar.
All the videos that you see on social media are edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies. Taste bud David here from Cleveland, a.k.a. Leprechaun Chaser, a.k.a. Couch Cushion Replacer, and what's another one, a.k.a. Active Wall Lover. Today, my family got an unexpected blow when my grandfather passed away, and if I'm being honest, I'm still pretty raw with emotions. And this is my first time actually calling in, but I just had to tell you how grateful I am for both of you and this incredible community that you've cultivated. Over 100 people provided support to me today in some way or the other, but some of the kindest words I received were from fellow taste buds I've gotten to know in the Facebook fan group. This community is filled with the most compassionate and empathetic people, and I'm convinced no other podcast has anything like it. So thank you, and thanks to all the other taste buds, and I really can't wait for the next episode so I can have a great comforting distraction. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Abby from Iowa. I am just calling because I was literally belly laughing so hard at Bethany's reaction to the word crotch goblin. I can't even hardly say it, but as a mom, I've heard that phrase be used before, like people trying to be funny or just being like rude or gross, to be honest. I don't understand the phrase and where it even comes from. But yes, I 110% agree with that being one of the worst words on the planet and phrases. And Bethany's reaction is literally in my head what I was doing. I just died laughing. So thank you for the chuckle. It was great. Have a good night, guys.
Hello, ladies and fellow taste buds. This is Lauren from Tampa. I was just calling because I'm super excited. I closed on a house today, and I did it all by myself, obviously with moral support from my friends and family, but I'm just so freaking excited, and I went in, and I had my first, like, meal, which is just comical because I had a sandwich sitting in the middle of an empty house, but it's totally fine. I'm, like, so excited and so ready to paint and to put my own spin on it. I'm not using any accent walls, at least not yet, Kathleen, but I am doing the wallpaper very similar. But I'm just really excited and I wanted to share. I hope you're having a great day.
Hi, friends. This is Sam from Ohio. I was just listening to the podcast and you're talking about hair treatments and brought up putting an egg in your hair. I was a like latchkey kid, so I would come home alone and just, you know, hang out, go on the computer, surf YouTube and find different things to do. And one of those was one of those videos about putting egg in your hair because of the proteins, yada, 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 whatever. So one time I tried this and it said, leave it in your hair for so long and then go take a shower and rinse it out. So I did. But what it didn't say, because it was a crappy video tutorial, was that you need to take a cold shower. You can't take a really hot shower. If you take a really hot shower, what you end up getting, you can see where this is going, is scrambled egg head. So rather than having the smooth, luxurious hair that I was hoping for, I ended up plucking pieces of scrambled egg out of my hair like I was a bowl of stir fry. So just a suggestion, avoid the egg tip unless you really know what you're doing. And, I mean, maybe don't do it if you're in fifth grade and watched one YouTube video. Bye, ladies. Have a great day.
Hi, ladies. This is Christina from New Jersey. I'm just calling to let you guys know that I brushed my teeth in the shower for the first time yesterday. And Bethany, I think you had mentioned this on a podcast from like a year ago or something, but it was a great experience. Highly recommended. And if you guys haven't tried it yet, I highly recommend it. Love you, ladies. Talk to you later.
Hi, ladies. This is the Acquired Taste pod painter and contractor, Colby. Your last podcast drove me nuts. Kathleen, there are things that I personally use called an 18-inch roller. It gets the wall done completely faster. I suggest not using that paint sprayer indoors. If you do wear a hazmat suit, paint, tape everything off and put RAM board. It's a cardboard in a roll that you put on the floor. So then it doesn't seep onto the floors, on the carpet, or anything like that. You are correct on saran wrap on your stripper and stuff like that. Also, instead of using a paint scraper, use a window scraper. It has that little flat razor blade on it and the little handle. And change out your razor blade a couple times throughout the process. It's a lot easier to get all the poop off and then sand it smooth, and it'll look basically brand new. It's going to be gorgeous. All right, have fun. And if you have any other questions, let me know. I'm here to answer.